Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello and welcome to Winter is Crappening, a Watch for Crappens Game of Thrones podcast, or House of the Dragon right now, because that's the one that's actually on the air. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is the wonderful Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. You know, loving House of the Drags. Yeah. Halfway through the season, which is crazy. Can't believe it. It's so weird watching things week to week because I'm a binger, you know, with food and television. I like it all at once, down my throat and in my eyes. And so it's weird watching something week to week. It actually makes time go faster, I think. Does it?
Yeah, I like spreading it out, actually. I don't have enough patience to binge watch shows on end. I can only watch maybe 2 1-hour episodes in a row. I cannot do a whole day. I find that to be very challenging. So I like getting drips and drabs of this show every week. That works for me.
Yeah, it's working for me. I love it. And I think especially because this show jumps time so much and every episode is like a tentpole event, you know, I mean, I like it. I really like it this way. Guys, let's go back to weekly viewing.
Yeah, let's do it. Before we do that, though, just a reminder that not only can you listen to us as you might be doing right now, you can also watch us record this episode with Crappens On Demand. That's if you go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and you support on the Crappens On Demand level, you get access to the video component of this show, as well as, you know, for all the stuff that we offer for Watch What Crappens. So go ahead and do that for the full experience. And without further ado, let's get into this crazy episode. It's another Westerosi wedding, which they generally don't go well. Although that's not that different from like real life weddings. Everyone acts like their weddings go perfectly. And I mean, I think that's the whole point with like a wedding. They never go right. There's always someone who gets too drunk and tells a bad story, or there's someone falls over, or there's an affair, or a chandelier falls from the ceiling, which may just be Phantom of the Opera, but I'm okay to merge the two concepts together.
Well, especially on Game of Thrones. I mean, when we find out this is going to be a wedding episode, you know, it's the red wedding. Like, what wedding is it? What color wedding are we going to have today? Because it's not going to be an easy one. But before we talk about that, I'm really sorry. I just have to point this out. Last week, we were talking about how nudity on Game of Thrones is like pretty people with boobs, but then ugly dudes with penises. Homely peen. The homely peen curse of Game of Thrones. And I thought it was so funny that this episode started with the preview of the documentary The Vow about Keith Raniere. and his sex cult, because you want to talk about keeping a homely peen theory alive. All those people in that cult only got to see one homely peen, and it was Keith Raniere's. And I was like, God, do they listen to us?
I think so.
Does the preview intern listen to Watch What Crappens? Because
let's put up a homely peen odyssey
billboard, like the billboard for homely peen, the Keith Raniere documentary. Okay, yeah. So weddings, you know, weddings. We all love them. And what do you buy her anyway? Like, what do you buy these people?
What do you get the bride who already has it all? You know, maybe a flat screen TV. I don't see any in the castle.
I'm not buying anybody a flat screen for their TV. You know, there's a spatula.
You know? Well, she's probably offensive. You know, like her like wedding website's probably all annoying. It's from like The Knot. It's like, in lieu of gifts, please consider making a donation to our honeymoon. We would like to go to Old Town. You know, something like that.
Oh, God. Honeymoon fund. So, let's see.
They're calling this the green wedding, by the way. And by they, I mean at least one article I read, because Allison wears green. They're like, oh, it's the green wedding. Because everyone likes adding the colors. So, you know, I don't think it's the strongest label for a wedding. But yeah. I can say I have seen talk of a green wedding. Also, by the way, you really, really know things are going to go wrong with this wedding. Because they lean into the fact that these weddings always go wrong by giving us like 5 minutes of like happiness, like people smiling, which has literally not happened this entire season. Like, there's not been one smile this entire season. And now finally, like, hey, let's get down on the dance floor. Let's tear up this dance floor with some good old fashioned hands raised by our head dancing, where we look like, you know, the whisks in a KitchenAid. You know, it's the best time ever. You always knew something's gonna go wrong.
Yeah, when you see about 150 white people start doing the Macarena on the dance floor, you know someone's about to die.
Someone's okay. Gonna die. Yeah.
So we open at a castle far, far away, and a white horse, which symbolizes a good person. And there's this lady on a white horse, and her older cousin guy is like, "Oh, cousin." Yeah. She's like, "Cousin," and he's like, "Yes, cousin." She's like, "I'm cousin." And I was like, "Are you guys cousins? Are you gonna fuck? Because I'm."
This Game of Thrones.
Is this a prelude to a fuck? Where are we? Who are you?
Yeah, and he's like, "What's today's quarry, rabbit?" And she's like, "Do you not see I'm on like a full fucking horse? It's gonna be a deer. You think I need a whole horse to kill a rabbit, sir? Okay." I also would like to point out that the sky is mostly cloudy, but not fully cloudy. So there's some rays of sun that are piercing through the clouds, which on this show, that's like a full on like beach party day. Okay. They're like, wait a second, there's three rays of sunlight. Let's go. Shirts are coming off today.
Would you like some boar fat to slather your face with? Make sure you don't get anything. SPF 30. Big fat. So she's like, "I'm going to get deer, cousin." He's like, "Cousin, would you like some company?" She's like, "No, cousin." He's like, "Are you sure, cousin? Okay, I know you're trying to allude to maybe some sexual tension, but also when somebody says, do you want company? And the other person says no, they're going to die."
Yeah. Okay?
So we're like, who is this person and how is she about to die? That's how the episode starts.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of episode of anything, really.
And Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, you know, they're always setting you up for something terrible happening if there's nice weather and smiles. So we have nice weather in this scene. So she's going to go off. I'm intrigued by her because I'm like, is this basically Jon Snow? She looks like Jon Snow, right? Like, has anyone else know this is basically Jon Snow without the beard, right? So she's like galloping along. There's no music, so we know especially that something's going to go wrong, but we don't know why we care if something goes wrong. But she's just going along and she's riding her horse and she goes through a valley, and then there's a man in like a hood standing ominously at kind of like an impasse, and she sees him, and then she's like, "Husband." So we're like, oh, it's Damon.
Yes, and it's Damon. And so she's like, "What brings you to the veil? Or have you finally come to consummate our marriage? The veil sheet might be willing, even if I'm not." I was like, okay. So wait
she's
a minute.
She's an insult comic.
Yeah.
So let's put a brick wall behind her.
who is shit talking and telling her the gossip that he said he'd rather fuck a sheep in the Vale or whatever. So someone's been gossiping to her, which I love. I love that gossip can travel like that even when you're that far away, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it took a month for it to get there, but she's like, oh, I just heard it this morning, you motherfucker. It took 3 years to get here, but I heard it, you eyebrowless motherfucker. Literally. And she's like, or perhaps your brother has at last had his fill of your company, cast you aside in favor of a little girl. That must make you feel good.
And, you know, we've been hearing a lot of Rhea. Her name is Rhea. We've been hearing a lot of her. I believe that Damon called her. He's like, my bronze bitch. So yeah. We were like expecting some either like grotesque lady, or last week I said it's either got to be someone like grotesque or someone who can be like a gay icon. And we're like, yes, queen. Like I was like excited for Rhea to be this spurned, like the equivalent of like a spurned housewife drinking martinis at home, you know, in the Vale. And she's just like a good hunter who's out to get a deer.
She's like some hot chick who she's more like a Rhea Perlman, hot Rhea Perlman, you know. It's like a sarcastic waitress at Cheers.
That's how you know this show is written by straight men, because if it was a gay man writing it, it'd be like, oh, so she's so angry because Damon's off trying to find someone else. So she's at home with the martini, checking out the gardener outside the castle, and that's all she wants. And she just comes out in the bathrobe, smoking a cigarette, seducing the guy. That's what would happen if we were in charge of this show.
Yeah, if we were in charge of it, she would be cast with like Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, you know? It'd be Jennifer Coolidge trying to seduce the gardener of the Vale, because there has to be a gardener, by the way. Let's not act like there aren't gardeners. There's a gardener, and she's seducing him. And I'd be like, can we go back to that storyline? I care about that more than anything else.
Yeah, back to fuck a sheep.
Hey, you want to help me in here? My husband can't help. He can't get anything done, if you know what I'm saying. But you look like you could finish the job. Come on in. We're like... icon. She is an icon.
So Damon approaches the horse to pet it, and it's like, oh hell no, dragon lover.
I thought he attacked the horse. I don't think he pet it. I thought he was like,
no, he's like coming to put his hand to pet the horse's face, and the horse backs up. And so Rhea Perlman's like, so what are you gonna do now, Sammy? Huh?
Oh yeah.
Strike the child down? What are you gonna do? Murder the kid? Because you can't be king, huh? What is it, Sammy? And
Rhea's not that smart. Let's be honest. Yeah. She's not smart.
Well, she sees the look in his eyes, and she's like, oh, hell no. And she reaches for her bow, which God bless people trying to like protect themselves back then. They're like, bows don't kill people. People do. And when bows do kill people, they kill them extremely slowly and with a giant warning.
Right? Listen, Rhea, she's a little slow on the uptake. She's allegedly a great hunter, and yet there's her husband, who she knows is actively trying to get out of this marriage, and who she knows is, he's like evil. She knows he's evil. And he shows up dressed in like official capital E evil, like a evil hood.
Yeah.
He's hiding and he's standing there. He has evil stance. His like legs are apart. His arms are apart. He looks literally like he's ready to kill something. And she's like, what are you doing here, you impotent fool? You're so stupid. You're trying to get out of this marriage. What are you going to do to try to get out of this marriage? Are you going to try to murder me? No, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, so she like keeps on with him, and so she's like reaching for the bow, and then he does something to spook the horse. I don't know, probably lifts his hood up a little bit to be like, eyebrow free, bitch. And the horse is like, oh, hell no. And then so the horse jumps back, and she falls off the horse, and then the horse jumps, like falls all the way back onto her and crushes her into a state of paralysis.
The horse... like, I feel like she needs to work on that. It's too little too late, but she probably, you know, if this is a horse you're going to take into battle to go hunting, get a more chill horse.
Get a horse who's like used to like out of the ordinary things happening, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If your horse is freaked out by an eyebrow-free face to the point where it knocks you off of itself and falls backwards, I mean, that's like, that horse is easily spooked. I'm going to say it there. And also horses with airbags.
Yeah. Or
front and back.
Or if your husband, who you realize your husband's there to kill you, if you realize you're in a Lifetime movie, you're like an old-fashioned Lifetime movie, turn the horse around and run away. Actually, like, don't go for the boat. Like, ride the horse up the hill and then take out that bow and kill. I mean, this is like
You know, but you're one of those people who doesn't watch Lifetime, I can tell. Like, I would never watch a Lifetime movie with you because you're putting too much sense into things, you know? I'm just going to say this. Hindsight is 2020.
Okay.
Hindsight is 2020.
Either way.
We didn't all know when we're going to be murdered. I mean, how are you supposed to know?
Yeah, but I just feel like, yeah, well, either way.
I'm going to die the stupid way, like falling down in the bathroom because I keep forgetting things that I organize in my bathroom cabinet. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I need that tube of toothpaste in the shower right now. So I come out of the shower and then I slip and fall. And you'd be like, well, why would you come out of the shower when you know that this tile is slippery?
Final destination.
How the fuck? I didn't know this was the day I was going to die. That's why.
Well, either way. I thought that he tried to attack the horse or something. Either way, whatever happened, she's on the ground, and then he steps on her arm, like he's gonna like maybe like stomp on it or break her arm.
I think
he's
seeing if she can feel it.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
So it's like, are you paralyzed yet? Okay, should I leave now? You're paralyzed, right? Okay, I'll be back.
And she's whimpering. She's like. So he starts to walk away, and then when he walks away, of course, Rhea just can't help herself. She goes, I knew you couldn't finish Craven.
She's like, oh, you're not going to leave me a tip, Sammy? Okay, well, let me leave you a tip, okay? Purple pills, okay? Okay, Droopy Pain, purple pills. And he's like, that's it, I've had it.
No one calls me a cut purse. I called you a Craven. That's even worse. I can't believe you used the CR word. So he picks up a rock and he walks over to her and he's like, and then he goes to slam it down and it cuts immediately to a fish getting its head chopped off because now we're on a boat. Okay. We're on a boat traveling across through the Stepstones to get to Corliss's place, Driftmark. And the king is there. I assume the king was seasick, but I think the king has COVID.
COVID.
King has COVID. Let's be honest.
You don't barf with COVID. He's barfing. Well, he's like full on barfing.
Well, he may have. You could have food poisoning. Here's what happened. Okay, the actor came in. He has COVID, and they're behind with production. They're like, we have to meet our production deadline. Let's just work it into the script that the king is sick. Okay, no one has to know he really has COVID.
I think that the king is a wuss. I'm gonna say that. Okay, even though he eventually dies of some illness, I'm still like, get over it. You know, it's just how I was raised. Like, I don't feel good. Get over it. No one feels good. It's part of being healthy. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mom. Hugs. So Otto has been let go, okay, fired.
Yeah.
His little brooch was taken away. And so now the king is barfing on a boat, and he's stuck with his new hand, Meatloaf. Okay, so now Meatloaf is his hand. And he's barfing all over.
Incidentally, by the way, his actual hand is now Meatloaf.
His hand is the Gator Meatloaf. And they really go with the theme because – Meatloaf is like, Your Honor, take this handkerchief. And he's like, this literally has meatloaf on it. Is there any way you don't live up to your nickname? Seriously. You're a clean hanky.
So, it's Lord Lionel is the hand now. I think his name is Lionel. I think. Mm-hmm. And so, Ray is there with Sir Criston on the boat. And they're just there, you know, just two fuck buddies staring at an island as they approach. You know, what could go wrong? Nothing could possibly go wrong this episode for the two of them.
Yeah, it's so awkward. Like, you can't fuck your employees anymore. I mean, what century is this?
I know.
So then it's a rainy castle and, it's castle, Allison's. The regular castle. Yeah. So Otto is like really taking his time with his gloves. He's like, well, these fancy fucking gloves. They might be company ordered, but I'm taking them home. Suck my dick. Also, this stapler. I've got the stapler and a couple of packages of Nilla wafers that I've taken from the break room. So, take note.
So, Allison goes running up to her dad, and she's like, a moment! And so, she runs up, and she's like, I do not wish to see you go. And he goes, well, such was the king's decision. And she's like, well, I bitterly regret it. All this time, by the way, there's like a man with an enormous umbrella right behind Allison that I could not stop staring at. Was that like the queen's umbrella or something? He was just standing there, enormous, just twirl. It was a sort of going, it felt like it was going around in a circle, or maybe I was projecting that. But I wanted to know more about that umbrella.
What were they made of back then?
Yeah, like that was a huge umbrella. Like, could other people have stood under it? Like, why was no one standing under it? It was raining.
So Otto's like, oh, really? You regret it? Well, you made it possible because you chose Ray Ray over your daddy. And she's like, but she swore her innocence and I believed her. I did not foresee this was going to happen. If you had not been so relentless in advancing egg on his heir, why, daddy? Why would you try to make my son king? She made you go fuck the king the second that he was sad. What are you surprised about?
Yeah. And he's like, so then he has this whole thing where he's like, listen, okay, the king's going to die. You just have to accept it. Did you not notice how after the last time you guys were having sex, his arm was left in your bed? Okay. It may take months. It may take years, but he's not going to be an old man. I know he looks like an old man. He's 36. It's very sad. So listen, if Rhaenyra succeeds him, there will be a war. Okay. And the realm is not going to accept you, Allison. Partially because you have very little charisma. I'm just going to say that you're my daughter, but you have little personality. No one's going to get behind you. And they're going to try to kill you. They're going to try to kill your sons, which may be a good thing for you because I'm not sure you actually love your sons. It doesn't seem like it. But I'm just telling you, if you want to save your kids, you have to lean into this, okay? You cannot be pro Rhaenyra.
And yeah, he's not saying they won't accept Allison. He's saying they're not going to accept Rhaenyra, and that's going to turn on Allison because it's like
complete competition. If they accept Rhaenyra, oh yeah. Either way, the point is they're gonna like the pro Rhaenyra types are gonna kill off the sons. That's what he's basically saying.
So he's like, "You fool! And the time is coming. You prepare Aegon to rule, or you hang on to Ray Ray and you pray for her mercy. You pray for her mercy." And she's like, "Bye." He's like, "Bye. I've got some Nabiscos to eat in the carriage. Bye, bitch."
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian, eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to HungryRoot.com/Crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's HungryRoot.com/Crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Crappens.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Crappens.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Crappens.
So then in the carriage, the king's carriage, the king is still, you know, blarfing and turning blue. Yeah. And Ray Ray's just staring at the window like, God, I wish we could have windows that weren't made out of metal patterns with tiny little holes in them. Man, how am I supposed to sightsee? You know, everywhere I see just looks like little bits of gray sky coming through metal holes.
What joy it is to be trapped in this metal chamber with my father puking and coughing his germs all over. I mean, could we at least get a mask? I know we don't have to mask, but sometimes we really should mask, okay? Okay.
Welcome to High Tide, the coolest residence, eh?
It's a bit on the nose, High Tide. What is this, like a A casino, the casino of Driftmark. Welcome to the high tide. We run the Navy, in case you couldn't tell us. So we called it the high tide. All our soap is in the shape of seashells. Welcome.
So we see a blondie and a ginger practicing sword fighting in the yard. Little did we know. This they're actually sword fighting.
They're actually flesh, doing it.
They're doing the wiener dang, the wiener fight.
They were doing flesh anal sword in the courtyard. It was so awkward. It was so awkward. So yeah, they're there, and Lionel is like really mad because Lionel's new at the job, so he really has to flex that he's like a good hand. He's like, why is no one here to see the king? This is absolutely ridiculous. How come we came to the high tide, we had a reservation for four, and no one's even here? Okay, it was a VIP suite.
And then we get our brother and sister team of the names that make no sense together. Lena Laner. Okay. Lena, Laner, dinner's ready. Lena, Laner, Laner, don't be a Lena. Lena, do not be a Lena. Stop touching Laner. Laner, Lena, Lena, Laner.
Actually, one of the perks about the high tide is that at 9 o'clock, there's a free performance by Lena and Laner in the Seashell Lounge where they perform some wonderful show tunes. You really must see their act. Oh, please enjoy.
Lena and Laner. So then Meatloaf is like, what is the meaning of this, Lady Lena? Well, actually, not Lena, Lena. Is it my accent? Is it my accent? No, it's our names, actually. And she's like, well, our father has just returned, and he waits your grace's arrival down very, very long hallways. Surely your grace is feeling up to it. Need some help there, Kingy? He's like,
And meanwhile, by the
way, we could do this in the driveway. All right. I'm really ready to trek. I don't have my fitness pal turned on. All right. Reset my activity rings.
Meanwhile, Lena is now grown up. She's no longer an 8-year-old girl. She now is, I don't know how much time has passed, but she now appears to be like 22, but we know that she's probably like a teenager. Either way, she's gorgeous now. So I think the king is probably like, damn it. So they go inside, but then we go back over to King's Landing, and we're in that like garden area where there's that crying tree, and Laris is there. Laris is the guy who, when they went on the hunt, he was like, oh, I have a club foot, so I guess I'll just sit with the ladies and gossip, because that's what I'll do. So I was thinking.
And he sure does. He is the gossipy little bitch of this show. And how come they always make the bad guys have a cane? I don't like that. It's not
I actually
nice.
Don't like it either. I actually was thinking to myself, like, I thought he was going to be sort of like our champion. Like, oh, he's not like this strong knight, but he's actually like a warm soul who actually listens. And he sits with the women and he understands them. And I thought that's what it was going to be. They're like, nope. Nope, he's differently abled, so therefore he is going to be evil. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you go, HBO. So, yeah, this is an episode of that, you know, if you get angry about that sort of thing, about a lot of that sort of, that woke, go broke. Am I right, HBO? You care a lot about that stuff. So anyway, Alicent is in the garden, and Larry, I'm sorry, I will not give him the respect of his normal name because he's such a bitch already, okay? It's like day one, and he's such a bitch. Larry.
Just so you know, my father, Larry, listens, so you better be careful. You might get on his
bad
side.
Love that, Larry. Love that, Larry. Okay, add an end to the end of your name, and I will not respect you as much, okay? Larry. But, so he's like, and he's as villainous as possible, isn't he? He's
like over
kind
the top.
Of hobbling. He's like, remember me, the one with the club foot? Well, listen here. Look at this flower. An outsider among the natives. It's like a little on the nose, Lair.
I know. Okay. Now, at this point, if I were Allison, because Allison's walking around, I'd be like, creepy. Like, can someone get this guy out of here? He's like, I'm sorry. I love this rare bloom, indigenous to Braavos. Now, excuse me. I have some Smurfs to kill. Azrael! I'm like, is this guy Gargamel? What's going on?
It's like, well, it shouldn't be thriving here. Major. Such a mystery, isn't it? I'm like, oh, God. When people start going off on how mysterious nature is, you know they're about to fuck you over.
Yeah. How about this, Laris? How about, hey, what's up? How's it going? It's nice weather today, right? You look really... I love this dress on you. Wait, did you see... did you see Big Brother last night? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, something. Just... like, hey, oh my God, you come to the garden too? I'm new here. I'm Larry. You might know my father, Meatloaf. He works for your dad now. So kind of new to the office. Dad wanted me to get a summer job, so I'm thinking maybe some filing. But I mean, it's really not as easy as it sounds, am I right?
Check out this flower. I thought this was indigenous to Bravos, but it's here. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
It's funny. I was just organizing the snack room and there's a bunch of Nabiscos missing, which is crazy. It's like my first day. Do I tattletale on somebody or I don't know. God, this job's already a mystery, isn't it?
But instead he's like, instead he's like, the snack room has vacancies. The Nabiscos once were there, but now they're not. Strange how things disappear in life. It's like, just say the Nabiscos are missing. Okay. Otto took them. She knows it's her dad. She saw them. She literally snuck out some Fig Newtons for him.
No, instead of being likable, he's got to be like, oh, look at you, like a flower from Bravos everyone hates. You should be dead by now, but you're not. Interesting. Mm.
And she is so desperate to have anyone talk with her that she's like going to hang out with the creep in the garden. Like the creep with the king in the garden. She's like, well, I guess I've got nothing else to do, so I guess I'll talk to him. So she's like, it's a dark day for the realm. Your father was a good man. Now, I think I just realized. I was about to say, why is Laris so pro Otto when it's hit, like his dad was the one is in power? But I think that he hates his dad because his dad probably treated him like shit. Because remember, he was like, oh, everyone else gets to go out on the hunt, but I don't get to. So he probably resents his dad and therefore is pro Otto. I'm working this out as I talk.
As we go. So she's like, your father's a good man too. Now he took my father's place. Isn't that nice for you? And he's like, oh, well, it was real sad about your dad departing. At least he got those gloves. I won't tell anybody. Or I don't want to. No, I feel it was an injustice, to be honest. And she's like, what do you know about it? And I like that she gets bitchy with him. She's like, what's your problem? All right. Yeah. And he's like, well, when one isn't invited to speak much, he's invited to observe. So which is it? What do you think? I'm not invited to speak much. And yet here you are speaking away.
Doing a lot of speaking from someone who just observes. Okay. So she goes, well, I have no shortage of allies. I have a lot of friends. There's Sue. She comes in a lot. She has the big head thing. She like takes my babies from me.
She hates you, I heard. I heard gossip Sue hates you. She calls you Bony Bone.
I heard her say that. I thought that was like an inside joke she was workshopping to use on me, but okay.
She's actually suggesting to the other nursemaids that you're injecting botulism into your eyebrows.
Oh, that's outrageous. But you know, the truth is it's never too early to start. I mean, sometimes it's preventative, but it's still an outrageous accusation. But just letting you know, if it did happen, it's not crazy.
She's like, state your purpose, Limpy, because he's not subtle at all, right? He's like, need a friend. She's like, what do you want? All right. And he's like, well, I wonder if your friend Ray Ray can be relied upon now that she's unwell.
She's like, unwell, like the Matchbox 20 song. I hadn't heard of such a thing. He goes, well, forgive me, Your Grace. It's just that on the very same night that your father was dismissed, the Grand Meister delivered a tea to the princess's chambers. A tea? Was it oolong? Earl Grey?
It was green, like skinny tea, but for your womb. She's like, wait a second. Well, my question is, who told you this, sir? How do you know this? I'll bet he's the poop. He's the womb poop tea maker. There, I'm calling it right now. He did it. He's starting all of this shit. The war was started by this guy. Don't ignore people just because they're different than you, okay? Because maybe they can grow up and fuck up your whole life.
She's like, so what's the tea? He's like, oh, I just told you. No, but what is the tea? I just told you. But what is the tea? Tell me the tea. Tell me about the tea. I just told you about the tea. But you haven't told me the tea. Thank you. That was our comic bit. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So he's like, yes, the king told her to take that tea. I hope she's not unwell. And she's like, well, I don't know, because she went with the king. You know, I've scrolled her, but God knows how long that's going to take. I don't even know if they have service out there. And he's like, oh, must have been an error then, you know. What a relief. Thank God, she didn't fuck her uncle or possibly the knight or anyone, really. Possibly not. I don't know.
Oh, so glad that was just some sort of mint tea, not some morning after tea. So Allison's like, yes, yes, but she's like angry. She's like really, really angry. So she does her like angry version of just staring off. And poor Allison, she gets manipulated every single episode. Like she has not had really any thoughts for herself, right? Like everyone just tells her different things. Everyone lies to her. And she's like, but, and then she like pulls at her hands a little bit.
And this poor queen. Okay, so they've got this guy. Like, guys, we get it. Okay, he's evil. But then as they pull back, I'm like, is he walking around in his silk bathrobe? He's just like walking around the castle in his bathrobe. Like, call me if you need me, tea lover.
So now, now the king is walking through Driftmark, and he enters the Hall of Nine, which is like Corlys's main room. And he's in there with the hand. And then Lena like pulls Rhaenyra and like we're going to go off somewhere. So Corlys is sitting on his throne. Total power move that he's sitting on a throne.
And he's like twiddling. He's like tapping his fingers on the throne like, oh, God, now I've got to wait for him to make it through the hallways. It could take all day long. I know. He's like, made it, old chap. Did you make it here on my restoration hardware throne? I'm like, now that's a throne.
Yeah, welcome to the president's suite at High Tide, the High Tide Casino and Bar. So then, Corlys gets up out of his throne and he like bows down in front of the king, and the king's like, he's like, "Thank you so much for coughing on my head. That's a great honor to have your saliva and germs in my hair. Thank you so much." We do have a masking policy in here. I don't know if you saw the sign at the in the lobby of High Tide, but we do encourage masking here, sir.
So get up, get off the floor then, get up. And so he's like, oh, well, thanks for having me and everything. Thanks for the walk. That was lovely. All right. Next time, can we meet on top of a goddamn mountain with no cart or anything to take me up? That would be amazing. How about you wait on one side of the ocean, I'll wait on the other, and I'll just swim to you. How about that?
So then the doors fling open and Rhaenys comes out and she's like, cousin. She's like all happy because we haven't seen her in 2 weeks. She's like, listen, hi, oh, good to see you. You know, and then he's like, of course, like
she's like, are you well? She does that like thing with her lips, or she's like, are you well, cousin?
He's like,
so Corlys is like, congratulations, Meatloaf. I can't think of a better hand. Right? Pity about Sir Otto, isn't it? And the king's like, well, you know, normally I don't come to lesser homes than myself. What is that made from wood? To that throne? That would kill anybody in battle. No, it didn't kill anybody with wood. But here I am.
Despite spending all my days in the Red Keep, the halls of High Tide never failed to impress. And that those water fountains you installed in the front, swinging back and forth to Frank Sinatra. What beautiful touch. So classy. I waited 20 minutes for them to go off, and it was worth it.
The High Tide Lagio. Fly me to the moon. So then, they make small pleasantries or whatever. Corlys is like, oh, so I heard about Daemon's wife passing. Tragedy. I mean, Rhea Perlman, what a gift to the world. You know, Danny DeVito has been speechless since. And Rhaenys is like, accident. Fell from a horse, right? Oh, God, the gods are cruel, aren't they?
And the king, of course, knows. He's like, yes, very cruel. Ugh. So they're saying, Rhaenys is like, you know, the sad thing is that Daemon and Rhea had no heirs to succeed her. So she and Daemon are to inherit all of Runestone, which honestly, I think it's a great deal. I mean, Runestone, open concept, close to town, you know, but not close to the road, so you don't hear a lot of the horse traffic. I think it's a great deal for them.
Rune, my favorite character in big business. You know, everything's going to go great for them. I see great things in their future. And the king's like, can we talk about happier things? My God, anybody watching Only Murders in the Building? Quite silly, yet fully entertaining.
I've been watching Only Murders in Runestone, actually. It's been very good.
Only Murders in the Outhouse.
Only murders in the hilly landscape. Oh, it's wonderful.
So the king's like, listen, just had a really long walk. Thanks again for that. So how about we make our children marry each other? All right. Listen, they're just cousins. I mean, that's basically being strangers in this town. Am I right?
Corlys is like, you honor both me and my house. And by the way, I just want to like throw something by you. Like, how's the succession going to be handled? Because I was thinking that the kids could have our last name. What do you think?
Yeah, I want the children to take our last name. Also, we want control of the pigeongram.
I mean, look at my wife, your cousin. Do you think that she's going to settle for just losing our name? I mean, for crying out loud, she has some evil things to do. Okay, so let's get this show on the road, huh?
So the king is like, well, Ray is my heir, and upon my death, my titles will be passed to her, of course, but her child, regardless of sex, will become heir. If that makes you happy. And he's like, well, but the name? He's like, well, surely you're not having a problem with her name simply because she's a woman. Really? Do you want me to go back and tell everyone you're a misogynist? Oh, wait, that would probably work in your favor, actually, in this town. So I'm stumped. Let's just go splitsies on the name, all right? Popular ones will have your name. The ugly eyebrowless ones will take my name, all right? They'll learn swagger.
Well, how about we do like a mishmash, okay? You're Valyrian, we're Targaryen, so we'll take the first part of my name, the last part of yours. We'll call them Targaryen. Yeah, that works.
It doesn't work? All right, Targlys. How about that? Targlys. Sounds a little negative.
Vargallian.
Corlgarian.
How about the Targaryen experience presented by the High Tide Casino and Spa?
They must dance to Fly Me at the Moon. Fly Me to the Moon at their wedding. All right. I need that in writing.
Can we get a special arena built for Lena and Lenor in the Red Keeps? That way they can really explode their show.
Now that's a couple name. Lenor.
Lenora Hemsley.
So the king's like, oh god.
Get him a chair.
A chair's what got me into this mess. Probably. I don't know. There's not proof of that. Allegedly. All right, let's get on with it. Listen, upon their birth, they'll take their father's name. However, at such a time when their first ascends the throne, they'll use Targaryen. All right, so you can have all the powerless babies, and we'll have the powerful baby. Do you understand? That seems all fair, right?
And can we discuss pronouns? Oh, for crying out loud, how much do you want from me?
Dragons rule, boys drool. We got that. Can we agree? Dragons will rule for 100 years. Do we have it? And they're like, okay, sounds great. And Rhaenys is like, oh god, fabulous. Glad I wore pants for this.
So now we're on the beach, and Rhaenyra and Laenor are walking along, or as I call them, Rayleigh. And
I like that.
Rayleigh. So Ray is like, so if it had to be someone, I'm glad it's you, because I know this union is not what you would choose. And he's like, well, I hold nothing against you, cousin. And she's like, dare I say, it's a matter of taste. I prefer roast duck to goose. I cannot say why. Do you get what I'm saying with the duck and the goose thing?
Not really, because they're very similar, actually. Roast duck and goose. Like, I probably wouldn't be able to tell them apart. And if they each had a special sauce, like maybe the duck had one kind of sauce, but the goose had another kind of sauce.
It's a metaphor, you queen. It's a metaphor.
No homo. No homo. No homo. She's like, girl, please. He's like, okay, homo. Little homo. Slightly homo. Commercials.
Here comes one right now. Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it, yes. They sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked
at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Listen, we both prefer duck to goose. There, it has been established, okay? So I think no matter what, even though I've tried various poultry, I still always come back to roast duck. All right? So our appetites aren't going to... Are you still following the metaphor, Leonor? You look a little lost.
I'm thinking about the different sauces between roast duck and goose.
All right. Well, listen. You can have hoisin sauce. Would that make it better for you? No?
Love hoisin. Okay. Love hoisin. Love it. I mean, let's get married. It's like, all right, let's do it. All right, but listen here. All right. You don't like... Listen, you fuck guys, I fuck guys. Okay? So let's get it. I know the agreement being struck up, and it's not going to change your appetite for dick. And my appetite for dick. My appetite for dick is also going to be the same, but not your dick. You're not as closely related as the dick that I need. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's like, not really. He's like, okay, do I need to get ready to write letters from Santa every year? Because I need a beard. All right, but that's what I'm saying.
How does this fit in with the whole roast duck? Is there going to be lunch? I'm just waiting. I'm trying to understand if I have to put an order in.
Okay, oh, listen. God. We'll perform our duty to our fathers. You can be gay, and I'll just be in whore houses, possibly fucking my uncle. Do you understand? Does that work for you? He's like, sounds good to me. Here's my question from this scene. Is he 20 or 60? He's one of those faces I cannot tell. Like, I think he's like 45, but also 20. Like, he doesn't look old, but he doesn't look young, and he looks young, and he also looks old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I also want to point out that in the scene, I wasn't quite sure what they were getting at myself. I thought they were just saying, I was just like, well, I mean, they were talking about that. I thought she was just saying like, look, we both aren't into each other. So, you know, like, let's have a marriage of convenience and then I'll fuck who I want to fuck and then you can do whatever. I didn't realize she was saying, listen, I know you're gay, but like, whatever, let's just like, you'll be my beard and I'll be your beard and we'll just get through this. I didn't realize that until the next scene where now Corliss is with Renice and he's like, you know, he's basically saying, you know, they're talking about the kids and everything. And, you know, Rhaenys is like, well, you know, his true nature. And I was like, oh, I get the goose metaphor now. I get it.
And Corliss is like, well, do they seem like they're having fun on the beach together? Because, you know, she's like, they know each other. So, yes, they're familiar. And he's like, well, but like familiar, bing, 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 finger in hole familiar. She's like, come on, you know his true nature. He's like, yeah, but she grew up pretty hot, didn't she? So I'm sure he's less gay already. You know, thank God. She's like, you can't pray the gay away, Corley. All right. I've tried to explain this to you. It even rhymes, the saying. Can't pray gay away. Three rhymes.
What if we enroll him in sports? Do you think that would help? Do you think sports would help?
Like, oh, yes, God. That would help greatly. Putting a gay person in a locker full of hot, worked out, naked men.
He's like, well, you know, she's basically like, you know, we're putting him in danger. Okay, by marrying him off to her because there's shit's coming down the pike. We're putting him in danger. And he's like, but the lords of the realm swore allegiance to her. They said they'd be down. The lords are like, it's very clear. In the allegiance, it says, I swear my allegiance to the queen, no matter if she marries a gay son. There, I said it. I must admit, he's gay. Yes, yes, he's gay.
All right, fine. So maybe they might not stick up for their allegiance to a queen, but how about two queens? All right.
Listen.
Two queens don't make a king, all right?
the realm, look how the realm will be thrilled with Leonor being the queen's consort. First of all, more disco in the realm. Everyone likes that. More show tunes. Everyone will be much better dressed around the Red Keep. I don't see why anyone would rebel against them.
She's like, knives will come out. Well, actually, that was a great gay movie. I mean, not technically gay, but gays loved it, did they
gay
not?
Gay appeal. Like, I mean, Leonor saw it about 5 times.
She's like, we could be killing our son by doing this, okay? Is this really smart? Like, putting him on a national platform where he'll get gay bashed. I'm like, is that smart? And he's like, excuse me, gay bashed? We own the Navy. All right.
Let me tell you something. There absolutely will be no gay bashing. Not even by the end of this episode will there even be any gay bashing. So I really don't know what you're worried about, Rhaenys. I really don't.
All right. She's like, is it worth it? Wealth, power, pride? It's like, just put old in front of the Navy. All right. Straight people will love it.
He's like, look, I didn't waste 3 years on a beach being scared of crabs to not have power. Okay, we're going through with this.
Yeah, and he's like, listen, this is just justice. You should have been the queen in the first place. You were robbed of that shit. And she's like, well, I never wore it because the realm would not have it so. I have myself put that business behind me. Can't you put it behind you? And they're like the cutest couple. They talk like with their heads against each other and their noses touching. Yeah. And then when they say another sentence, they just like switch places and then the nose goes on the other side of the other nose. I'm like, you two are adorable. Is this how you do your taxes every year? How am I going to do a taxes? What have we spent on this? I've got my cheek press your cheek. Can we do the percentages that way? It's like, how do you see anything talking like that?
There are a couple goals for sure.
Yeah.
So now I've always feared the day you'd have to marry a woman, and now it comes. So this is now Leonor is hanging out in like the grass with his now lover, a ginger.
We find out that sword fighting was not just literal; it was also figurative, which made it literally figuratively literal sword fighting. Okay, and so Joffrey. Which, you know, bad omen. Yikes. So he's like, so in this situation, was I the duck or the goose?
Saw myself as, you know, I do enjoy a down comforter. So I'm really fingers crossed for goose. He's like, you would roast duck. Damn it. So, yeah.
Well, but what sauce was on me? Exactly. That's what I was talking about. She didn't really get the sauce thing. Really? I didn't get the sauce differences between duck and goose. What moron you're marrying.
Did you even say honey mustard? Did you propose honey mustard? No, she said something about hoisin, which I didn't really understand what that meant. I just nodded and said, sure, that sounds cool. I'm not hoisin! I'm honey mustard!
I've come to meet my fate and you're making a jape of it. He's like, that's me! JP Joffrey. That's why they call me that. JP Joff. Joffrey the Japer.
So, basically, you know, Joffrey loves this. He's like, he's ready to move off to the big city. He's been wanting to do this for years, you know? And he's like,
finally,
this is great.
Finally, a gay bar! Finally!
I know. He's like, ugh, I'm so sick of all these stupid sports bars at the high tide. God.
So true. And also, I love that Joffrey's name is Joffrey Longmouth. I mean, that is some funny shit.
The Knight of Kisses, by the way. I mean, this show, I mean, they're basically like, oh, his name is Gay McGay McFace. Gay, 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 gay. Queen Gay of the Gays.
So then they wrestle and kiss. They're like, you're a fool. No, you're a fool. And Joffrey's like, you're going to need a sworn protector. And they make out. And he's like, come on, this is better than we could have hoped for. Because obviously, you've got a paramour. And she must have a paramour of her own. Wonder who it is.
This should
I should
work
find
out.
That guy with the cane in the castle and mention missing cookies in the break room. See if I can get something out of him.
Joffrey's like, this should work out perfectly. Surely I shall be by your side for decades to come. So now we go back to Rey. She's on a boat. They're going back home. It's the morning. And Kristen comes out and he's not wearing his armor. He's just vulnerable in his like white waffle shirt, and he's like, he comes out, he's looking great, and up until this moment, like, I'm down for Christian. I'm like, you know, or Kristen, you know, like, you know, he's hot, they got good chemistry, we love him. And then it turns out he sucks for the entire rest of the episode and probably the rest of the series.
He's like, hello, I pomaded my hair for you. And she's like, hot. So you couldn't sleep either, eh? And he's like, no, I had to see you. And she's like, oh, I had a similar desire. He's like, keep the drill in the drawer. All right, it's not time to unscrew my outfit yet. It's like, you're not even wearing it. I know, but I love to make drill jokes around you. Oh, I love a drill joke. He's like, we're having a serious talk here, all right?
Listen, I've heard you say so many times. I mean, it's kind of like almost all that you talk about how much you loathe your sort of position and about how you're about to be married off at your father's whim with no thought of the yearnings of your heart. And now the day comes in. So Lena, he's a good, decent man, a little, you know, a little light in the loafers, if you know what I'm saying. You know, sort of, I bumped into him the other day and he said, awa. And I thought, wow, that was quite an interesting reaction. But you did not choose him. He was chosen for you.
She's like, duh. Like, what century do you think we're living in? Yeah, he was chosen for me. Could have been worse. You know, I might have had to fuck him. You know, they actually did a good job with that one. He's like, but what if there was another path? One that led to freedom? Would you tread it? Before I came here, I was a knight for the Stormland. I had knowledge of ships. They were setting sail with oranges, cinnamon, some kind of tea that made wombs poop. And I always found out where they went, so I know things. She's like, wow, so you know things. You know lots of places where things are smuggled to. Are you talking about a path to freedom or a path to poor? Because it sounds like a path to poor to me.
So are you saying that there was a ship carrying oranges and cinnamon with someone making a sweet potato casserole somewhere? She's like, he's like, yes, I'm asking you to come with me away from all this, from the burdens and indignities of your inheritance. Let's see the world together. You'll be nameless and free to go where we love and and love as we like. And in Essos, you could marry me. And yes, you would not be wealthy, but there's cinnamon and orange. We could have a lot of orange cinnamon flavored things. I think we both agree it's a great flavor combination. What do you think? We'd be rich in flavor.
A marriage for love. Not for crown. And she's like, oh, honey. So she like turns her back and like kind of cries because now she's got to give him like the friend zone. She's like, I am the crown, Sir Criston. Okay. Or I will be. Now, listen, I may chafe at my duties. I may chafe on a horse. But do you think I choose infamy in exchange for oranges and a ship to the Shire? Listen, it's my duty to marry a great man from a noble house. And Lenore will make a great husband. And also, if I'm his sister is over, I don't have to really think hard for her name. It's very similar. But, you know, my marriage, it doesn't have to end, so don't worry about it. We can have an understanding. I can use you when I want to, all right? And then you can go back to work, and you won't get any extra pay for being my whore. Okay, doesn't that sound good? Does that sound fun? Romantic? Guess what we have in the castle? Oranges and cinnamon. Score? Score?
We don't have to go somewhere for orange and cinnamon. We already have it. Have you seen the cupboards? Has Sue taken you to the kitchen? God, she's great. And he's like, so you want me to be your whore? I'm like, Kristen, you already were her whore. Okay, you were like, you gave over your life to do whatever for her. Okay, you already were the whore. All right. Sir, and I'm sorry, you guys only slept together once, and now you just want to control her destiny. And then she's like, actually, this is what I want. And now you're like, now you have an issue with it. That is called toxic masculinity, Kristen.
Yeah, but I mean, she's like the person in power, too. And she totally made him have sex. So like, how was he going to say no? So,
that's true.
I don't know. I can see a side, kind of. Except here, I'm thinking like, dude, get off my jock. We fucked one time. Yeah. You know, like we've all...
Like, chill.
I was going to say we've all dated this person, but really I've been this person. Okay. I don't know that I've actually dated. I've been this person. He's like,
but we made out that time. We're not getting married.
He caught feelings real quick.
He did. So at first and by I'm the like, way, okay, he just caught feelings. But then it turns into it's not feelings. He goes, but I took an oath of chastity and now I've broken it. And my sword and my white cloak. I mean, that's the only thing I have to my name. So I thought if we were married, I could restore. Oh, so it all comes back to you. So you don't love me anyway. I'm glad I said no to your stupid ass.
And don't forget, he's like a fuckboy, by the way. Remember on the hunt, he's like, oh, well, back in my youth, I used to sleep with a lot of women. It's like, well, guess what? You just happened to you, so you better chill out. Now you know how it feels.
Yeah, but I love that it's all his reputation it comes back down to. And yeah. So Ray Ray is like, well, but listen, this means more than just being a whore. I mean, listen, Aegon the Conqueror united the Seven Kingdoms so that we could. And he's like, I'm mad. I'm so mad. So he walks off crying. And she's like, Kristen. I don't know why a man named Kristen. Why would I expect a man named Kristen not to walk off crying?
But I want orange and cinnamon, mummy. So
good for her. I say team Ray Ray, good for you not bowing to the dick the second that some guy's like, well, we have to get married, you have to run away with me, what's everyone gonna think of me? She's like, fuck off, I'm the queen, stupid, go.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like his whole thing is that he's so like attached to the idea of like what, like of duty, a sense of duty, and then the moment like the queen's like, oh, remember, like, we all play a role in this. All of a sudden, now we can't deal with it. So they get back home, and then Sir Kristen, he's summoned by the queen. Because remember, she had the conversation with what's his buns. So she summons him, and so he shows up, and so Allison gives the baby to Sue, and Sue takes the baby out.
Allison rocking this baby. I love the views of Allison as a mother that they show, because they are so funny. Every time they show her with the baby, she's just got the baby on her knee, and she's like drumming her knee like brrr, with misery on her face. Like, God, I hate this. And the nursemaids are looking at her, and you know she's one of those who's like, no, I'll do it. It's my child. I'm here. I'm going to rock my own baby. I don't care that I have help. I'm the mother here. I will rock. And the second anyone comes in, she's like, take this fucking baby. Just take it.
Sue is like, are you sure you don't want? You're just really doing it wrong. I think it'd actually be better if I just do it. Are you sure? No, it's my child. I take care of my baby, okay? I do it all. I have a lot on my plate. Oh, sorry. Kristen's here. Take the baby. Take the baby.
So Kristen comes in and she's like, I fear that this is a delicate matter I must question you on. He's like, I'm your servant as always. And she's like, are you trying to take off your clothes? He's like, yes, do you have a drill? She's like, no, it's not about that. I'm not going to do that with you. He's like, are you sure? It's like taking off his sword, dropping it on the ground. Like,
I was a little confused because you have some tapestries up of people having sex on the wall. Do you realize that? She's like, oh, so I do. Anywho.
Well, sorry you had to walk into Tapestry Hub. All right.
So she wants, so now that she's heard this thing from Laris, she wants to find out. She still thinks that Rhaenyra had sex with Daemon. That's what she is thinking. So she wants to get to the bottom of it. So she starts asking him. She's like, hey, like, sit down with me next to the sofa. It's totally cool. You won't get in trouble. It's fine. So he like sits down.
And you just hear, plonk. She's like, is that hitting up against your armor? Tell it no. We're not doing that. I told you.
I'm sorry. So she's like,
it really hurts, actually. Got to be honest. Really hurts. Hopefully they can make these stretchy one day. This is unbearable. She's like, well, my father received an accounting of a lapse of morals that may have occurred between... God, it is of course unthinkable for me to question the morals of the princess. I do, however, wonder if she's a little slutty slut face, little slut. And he's like, okay, I fucked her. I'm sorry, I did it. We totally fucked.
Why are you so terrible? Why, like, how do you not, like, deny? Well, first of all, she doesn't even say the name, so he falls. Like, it's one of the stupid things where, like, if she just said Daemon, it would all be avoided. But because she didn't act, she was like, I fear that I heard that Rhaenyra had sex with
it was me.
I did it all. And she's like, oh. Now I thought she would be actually kind of happy, but then she's still mad because Rhaenyra still
lied to her
regardless.
Yeah, she broke her trust.
And she had her dad, basically, like, because she took Rhaenyra's side, her dad was sent off. So she's really mad.
Yeah, well, you should stick up for your friend anyway, because she could fuck whoever she wants. Why can the men all do it? Why could your dad send you to fuck the king? But this is bad.
Well, also, Allison needs to get over it, because last time I checked, Allison was the one who went and seduced her best friend's father and married him. So, okay, Allison, exactly. You can just chill out. Okay, yeah. You can chill out. Rhaenyra is allowed to have sex with her hot bodyguard.
Yeah, hungry hypocrisios.
I was going to say jealous bitch, but hungry hypocrisio is good too.
So she's like, what? And he's like, oh my god, her instigation. She started it. She made me do it. Oh god, it's no excuse. My oath has been broken. I've dishonored myself. I deserve no consideration. Even though totally made me do it. She totally made me do it.
I mean, I saw oranges, I saw cinnamon, I just started thinking about a life together, making pies and breakfast and all sorts of wonderful things. We could have a restaurant off in the corner of Essos. I'm sorry, I went too far.
And he's like, please pity me. I'd ask rather than gelding me and having me torture you. You sentenced me to death. I will have death. Blink, blink. Are you still hard? How is that thing still hard? Talking about murdering you. I was talking about oranges and cinnamon and it just happened.
It's a trigger for me. I love Cinnamon House magazine.
She's like, well, thanks for your honesty. You may go. And he's like, you sure you don't want a little get out now. And my note on this is he sucks. I hope he dies now. Okay, yeah, that is my wish.
Really sucks. He sold out. First he tried to strong arm her into a wedding and now he sells her out to the queen. So now we go over to the model city and the king, we hear the maester being like, oh, the king, you must rest. I'll bring the leeches in her movement. And then this other guy's like, by the way, I made some herbal remedies that might be more effective than, I don't know, leeches. Can I try them out?
And the doctor's like, more effective than tiny little sea slugs that suck your blood out. Get the fuck out of here, Betty Crocker. All right?
He loves the leeches. Everyone loves leeches. Okay, who here? Okay, on a scale of orange to cinnamon, what is a leech? If you say orange, I agree. Orange for leeches.
So then he leaves. The doctor's like, Lee, how can you believe it? And the nurse is like, Meatloaf, take these herbs. Just take them. Give them to the king. Trust me. Trust me on that.
So the king drinks from the vial because Orwell gives him like a vial to help him sleep. And then he's like, the hand is there. And so now the king's getting really needy. He's like, will I be remembered as a good king, Lionel? And Lionel's like, people remember you. I mean, you know what? You built that fountain in the town square. People love that fountain. So I think so, yes.
Listen, if all that's important is people remembering something about you, I would suggest giving high fives. All right? Just the look on their faces. They'll write about that for sure. It's like, but I haven't suffered. I haven't conquered. I haven't suffered defeat. Yeah, it doesn't really make a good fortune. It really doesn't make a good song, does it? Meatloaf is like, well, you do like big butts and you cannot lie, sir. No, I don't think there's anything in that. It's not really setting off the ding, ding, dings for songs.
Shall I arrange for a call with Mark Ronson? Perhaps he can figure out a good song for you. I mean, you know, you don't have to do heroic things to have a good song sometimes. It could just be about, let's party tonight. It really works well.
Well, sir, your love does lift us all up where we belong. Yeah, it's not really, this doesn't sound like a good song to me.
You are the wind beneath our dragon wings. That sounds like a good space for a song.
Sounds like crap, utter crap. No one wants to hear that song.
What about take my breath away? Take my breath away, King. No,
that song sucks. Hmm. Well, sir, you know, you are always happy on your birthday. Maybe something about a happy birthday. No, terrible, terrible idea for a song.
Listen, we will speak with the bards and they will write a song for you. And like some people have waited a lifetime for a moment like this. Ah, there we go, King. That's a good song for you, right?
So Meatloaf is like, listen, you know, you bitch that you didn't get to do anything, but then people who do get to do things bitch about doing things. So you really can't win this one, can you? This thing called life. And the king's like, but I could have been like Aegon.
Yeah, he's like, there's a part of me that wishes I had been tested. I mean, in the Crucible, I might have been forged a different man. I mean, no offense, Your Grace, but you're decaying in the bathtub. Not sure anything could have fixed that.
So he stares at the fire and closes his eyes. And we're like, is he dead now? Is he dead? That's the whole episode. You're like, is the king dead? Did he die?
I keep expecting it, but now,
because now they like cross dissolve into white heaven clouds.
Yeah,
it's like the king closes his eyes and they're like, death and heaven.
Yeah, and the music's like dun 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 dun. So like, oh, it's the royal funeral, but it's actually dragons coming in to see the royal. It's the wedding weekend. It's a big wedding weekend. Everyone is coming in. They've hired the best entertainment. Gaga is going to be doing a number. It's amazing. Robin is going to be DJing a set. Really, it's
huge. We know Rhaenys is coming because we hear, "Hey, Rhaenys, you look great on that dragon, girl. You look great up there." And it's Larry. Like with the cane, like, oh, can't wait to question her later. Hey, Ray Ray, hey, Rhaenys, find me. Ray Ray number one. Ray Ray number one. I'll be by the weird flowers from Bravos. Come talk to me.
So now people are coming into like the big hall, the reception area. And so Sir Harold is announcing, everyone's like, House Lannister over there, Lord Jason Lannister, Lord Paramount of the West and Master of Castlery Rock. And House Hightower over there, Lord Robert Hightower, King of the Leader of the People of the West. Listen, what can we just next time around? Can we just shorten it? Just give like one title. Just keep it one title max. And then everything else we'll put up on a screen and they can read what you are. But just one title for the announcements. Thank you.
I know. They're like, we did have an orchestra to, you know, wave you off when it got too long. But they're all drums. Like everybody in that orchestra plays a drum. I mean, it's just too much.
So then Jason walks up. Jason Stark. I mean, I'm sorry, not Jason Lannister.
Lannister.
Big difference. And so he walks up.
Oh, hi. He's all surly. He's like, oh, hi there. Oh, congratulations, princess. You make a fine match with what's his buns over there. She's like, thanks, Jason. Can't think of a better man. LOL.
Get it? He's like, I don't. But I'll think about it for a moment and I will get back to you. Thank you very much.
And he's like, well, if this is the welcome feast, I can only imagine the wedding, eh? The king's like, well, she is going to be queen. Speaking of real queens, where's your fiance again? Is he here? Does he already have a room? Is he checking in?
And so so then the king's like, well, because Allison isn't there yet. He's like, well,
right, he really meant Allison.
He meant like the real queen. Yeah. And so how ironic that we're doing all this queen discussion on the day of Queen Elizabeth's funeral. What a day for queens. So the king is like, I understand the queen is still readying herself for the celebrations. And Jason's like, this is why men wage war, because women would never be ready in time for the battle. High five, everyone. Come on, up high, Rhaenys. Rhaenyra, anyone? Anyone? High five. Women big late for battle. No one? Okay. I'll go sit down.
Ray's like, yeah, your misogyny jokes are always hilarious, but this braid atop my head is someone who gave up prime ass for this. Clear him. And he's like, oh, by the way, can I have my poker back? You know, the poker I was going to trade for your daughter. That'd be great. I don't really get your daughter, did I? Love the poker.
Okay. You know, the one you use on the non-white stag. Great use of an awesome poker, by the way. What are you going to use it on next? A frog.
So Gerald, who is the cousin of Rhea Perlman, who was like, hey, are you sure you want to go hunting alone? He's there and he just cuts right in the line, like in front of the hello line. He's like,
yeah.
Hi, it's me, Rhea Perlman's cousin. And the king's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for Lady Rhea passing. You know, I mean, I've had so many waitresses since I first met her. None of them has given me quite the attitude that she has. We'll miss her. We'll miss her.
And he's like, well, I have something to say, and it's very important. And the thing I want to say is the following. And it's like, and then Lord Corlys comes in, like his whole family. And so now it's like, Lord Corlys of House Valyrian, Lord of the Tides, Master of Driftmark, and his lady wife, Princess Rhaenys, the queen who never was. We can still laugh at that. It's pretty funny. Targaryen and their son and heir, Laenor Valyrian, and future King Cutter. And also their daughter. God, how many people are in this family for crying out loud? Just the rest of them. Just the rest of them.
So they come in and Laenor and Rhaenyra, give little kiss hands and they get applause. They're like, my betrothed. And they're like, wink, wink. Wink, wink. And everyone gives him an applause, standing ho. And Leonor's like, let me bow. Please take my hand. And then we just hear Kristen like, or we see him like,
he's up against the pillar.
I can't
look in her face. I'm going to stand here because I'm going to be your protector. I'm like, well, if you're going to be your protector, you should put your helmet on, by the way, like every other knight that's in there.
He's like, oh, my chastity.
So then the boyfriend, long mouth, is like, listen, look at how I'm bowing.
He's like, finally made it. I'm in the Red Keep. Nothing can go wrong. Yeah.
This fucking guy. Hey, Long. I know your name is Longmouth. Okay. But can we try some subtlety? I mean, for Christ's sake. He's like, yes, made it. He's like, can I try on your tiara? Is it too soon? I'm like, girl, stop winking. He's like across the room, like, I keep faking it, honey. They're so in love. Yay, hetero love. I love hetero love.
Is there a ginger voguing on the dance floor? Can we get him out of the way? Did he just do a drop? What is happening there?
Yeah, it's not subtle at all. So everyone is settled. Everyone sits down, and you know what that means. The drama queen Damon has to make his entrance. Like, is there a certain point where people just get sick of Damon walking into rooms like this?
I know.
Like, he just stands outside and waits for everything to be settled. And then he's like, clomp, clomp, and like comes down with his posh spice hair, giving everybody looks like, it's me. It's me.
I mean, at some point, someone has got to see him standing out there and be like, hey, by the way, Damon's about to walk in, so just pretend you don't notice him. But, like, no one is on the lookout for Damon. He just walks right in. The man's
got a head like a flashlight. How does nobody see him coming?
Seriously. So the king is, like, mad, but he puts a chair out for him at the table. And then the king's like, all right, I'm going to make a speech. We're going to try to keep the coughing to a minimum. Well, already failed on that point. So, well, with House Targaryen and then all of a sudden there's silence and everyone like cranes their neck, everyone turns, and like I'm expecting Julia Roberts to walk in to be like, hello everyone, it is me, film's Julia Roberts, but it's just Alison standing there and everyone's like, oh, Alison is walking in during the king's speech, what an upstaging moment.
I know, Damon's like, oh, really? No one could have told me that she was waiting to do this. My upstage walk has been upstaged by that upstage walk. Are you fucking kidding me?
Seriously. So,
and then Larry is talking to the hot guy. What's his name?
It's his brother. I forgot his name, but it's his brother.
Oh, I've got it. Sir Harwin Breakbone Strong. Yeah, he's talking to his brother. And Breakbones. I love that name. So he's talking to him and he goes, oh, the beacon on the high tower. Do you know what color glows when Old Town goes to war? And red. The hot knight looks at him. He looks at her dress and he's like, let me guess, green.
So it's obvious tea.
So it's just selling obvious tea.
Alison is declaring war. So Alison walks down this time she has full bitch face on. Like, she's always been like a little unsure, but this is the first time she's finally like, you know what, I am the queen and I am gonna act like a queen, for crying out loud. So she walks down, she's like, like glides down, and then she comes up to the central table, and then she sees Rhaenyra and she's like, congratulations, stepdaughter, what a blessing this is for you. And let me say it again, stepdaughter. So she's really like asserting her, just like a power move for her.
Yeah, and the king's just looking at her dress like, she knows this is for war, right? She wore a green dress on accident then. And Ray Ray's like, oh shit, she's pissed.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but she's pissed. So everybody sits, and the king's like, oh God, my speech, where was I? Meatloaf is like, I think you were calling Happy Birthday a useless song. Fucking moron.
You don't idiot. Realize how much money you could get in royalties. I'm telling you, just go with it. No. I don't think it's a necessary song. So he's like, well, with House Targaryen and House Valyrian united, I hope to herald in a second age of dragons. And oh, my pinky just fell off. Everyone, don't look. Don't mind that. What was I saying again about the houses together?
I know that I'm looking at you straight on, but I think one of my butt cheeks just fell down my pant leg. Right. But you know what? We're going to be powerful. Dragons, yay. And everyone's like, oh my God, dragons. Yes, dragons.
And he goes, and so they're basically like, they're all cheering. And everyone, there's a lot of like happiness again. So now you know shit's going to go down very soon because now everyone's smiling and cheering. And so now it's like, everybody get on the dance floor. It's time to move very slowly with your hands by your shoulders. Everyone do the dance. So they all get out there. They do their little like car wash dance, you know.
And this is so like a soap opera. I love it because it's the big group event where every family's there and then all the main characters just give each other looks from across the dance floor, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like one, you know, they all start doing the intermingling or whatever. It's like the season finale of a soap opera. So also this is like an 8-day event or something. They have this. This is like the beginning. It's like one of the most annoying weddings ever. We've all had this friend who's like, on Sunday, we're having the welcome dinner. Then on Monday, we're all doing bowling, but everybody has to dress like their favorite Muppet. Then on Tuesday, and then they've got like a whole week of a whole week of shit to do. And you're like, oh, I'm missing work. I get 1 week off of work, and this is what I'm doing.
So Damon is like glaring. Everyone's glaring. All the lovers are glaring because Damon's glaring at Rhaenyra because he's like jealous. And then the ginger is like glaring at Laenor because he's jealous that Laenor is dancing with her, even though he was down for this. And then what's his face? Kristen is like making a whole big thing about not looking. So everyone's like feeling things. And then down on the dance floor, Ray Ray is like, I was never much of a dancer. I'm like, you guys are barely even dancing. There's like two steps and you just have to sway back and forth and twirl around. And she's like, oh, I wasn't much of a dancer. How to get these two things down, Pat?
And Lenora's like, don't worry, I've got it. He starts like doing the flossy. She's like, oh, God, subtle, subtle, darling.
Ixnay on the Azhan's J.
So they do this. Their dancing is weird. It's like some weird spread eagle kind of dance. And then they like have a little shimmy.
Yeah.
I'm like, who choreographed this? Is who choreographs a shimmy into a group dance at a wedding at it's from the a different Red time, Key?
You know? That's why Kristen was so mad. He was like working on, he had like a whole dance that he was ready to show off. He's like, now I can't even do it.
Well, I suppose I'll save my triple time step for another day then.
All right. Let's go do the mashed potato. So then, so everyone's upset and there's everyone's, it's a whole, again, lots of glares. And so then Allison is mad. So she stands up and she walks away. I'm like, again, why are you so mad about this situation? You're the one who went behind your friend's back and started sleeping with her dad. So, like, I really don't want to hear it from you, Alicent.
And Damon's just being creepy, staring at Rhaenyra, and everybody, you know, what's his buns, long mouth sees it. And he's like, ooh, guess something's fishy over there. But then he sees Kristen staring at her, and he's like, ooh. But something's fishy there, too. So then Mr. Roper sees the queen coming, and he's like, oh, private time. Let's have a talk. Love your green dress, okay? Because it's mine. When are we declaring war on these fuckers? Let's do it. Let's kill them all now. You want to kill them now? Should we do it now? It's going to be fun. I hope this isn't too obvious, us standing in the front row together, gossiping about your green dress, which I love, by the way.
Is it too obvious that I brought a little green towel and I'm swirling it over my head? Go green! Go green! Yes, Uncle, please stop doing that. I'm kind of handling it myself with my dress.
Where's the waiter? I'd like to order some green juice, please.
So then, so now Gerald, meanwhile, he walks up to Damon and he's like, well, in the Vale, men are made to answer for their crimes, even Targaryens. And Daemon's like, who the fuck is this commoner coming to the court person's table?
God, who are you? He's like, Sir Gerald, I am cousin to your late lady wife. And he's like, oh, God, yeah, that was a terrible thing. I'm positively bereft. Terrible accident. The entire world is robbed of sarcastic, rude, terrible service from now on.
And Gerald is like, well, you know better than anyone that it was no accident. And Damon's like, oh, so are you confessing? And Gerald's like, no, I am making an accusation. So, and then Lionel's watching like, what's going on with these two? Should I know about this?
And Damon's like, well, here, men answer to their slanders. Even old cut fitnesses like you. Glad you stopped by. Oh, by the way, I need to talk about my inheritance. And he's like,
What? Excuse me, your inheritance? He goes, yeah, because, you know, I'm a husband, so whatever Rhea was due now passes to me. So she stood to inherit all of Runestone, did she? And Gerald's like, I'm not really. You don't know me. I'm not. I'm gonna go.
Gerald's like, I really should have considered that. I should have considered that before I tried to attack him. That was a mistake. I should have just. You know what? I should have done what my wife said. Let's go fishing today. And instead, I was like, no, I've got to go to this wedding and blow up this man's spot. But you know what? I get it. We make mistakes.
Well, after the wedding, I'm going to use some of my flyer miles, and I'm going to fly in, and I'm petitioning Lady Jane herself. What do you think about? Maybe I'll see you there, hun. Okay, you need some help? Your jaw's on the floor. All right. You're not the only long mouth here, agent.
And Lionel's just watching, and his jaw is like, he's like, bitch. He's like, did anyone just see this? Did you see what Damon just had, that we handled Gerald? Did anyone? This was good. No one. Was I the only one who saw that?
So then Lena, the girl, the lady, is looking over and watching. He catches Damon watching Ray Ray. And she's like, oh, God, here we go with some more sexy incest. Love it. And he sees her staring and he's like, I see you, bitch. And so then she's like, really? Well, I'm going to sexy dance with a man in a train conductor's hat. And he's like, I'm going to step in.
And then meanwhile, Joffrey is talking to Laenor, and Joffrey is like, we all know this guy, the one who's like, oh my god, those two are totally fucking. I totally know they're fucking. I guarantee you. Okay, who wants to make a bet? They're fucking. Okay, because he has kind of sussed out that Kristen and Rhaenyra have a thing going on, because he just sees the way. Because well, it's not hard, because Kristen's being so emo by that pillar. He's like, so it's like very, very obvious. I was going to
say, not subtle at all. And when he tells Laenor, he's like, yep, found the lover. He's like, how could you tell? He's like, she's positively puss-punched. Look at him. I mean, he can't stop staring.
So they're like, this is definitely, like, this is it. You know what I mean? And in fact, the ginger is like, he's like, actually, like, this is a really good thing, because now we all have like a mutual secret together, right? So then
so Damon is dancing with Lena, and he's like, has anyone told you you're as pretty as your brother? And she's like, ha! I don't want to build a snowman. Stop asking, little girl. It's like, I don't get that reference. It. She's like, sorry to hear about your wife. And he goes, oh god, she had the face of a hatchet and the butt of a joke. Don't be sorry. I'm not. She wasn't kind to me. Look at me, I'm sad. God, thank god I have this angular haircut to make me feel better. She's like, hot. It's hot.
So then Joffrey walks up to Kristen and he's like, they make a handsome match, don't they? And Kristen's like, what? Who? I don't know. I don't care. I don't like her anyway. And he's like, anyway, that was weird. But I'm talking about, you know, Ray and Laenor. And he's like, I don't know. I only care about Orange and Cinnamon. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care. I don't like her. I don't love her. Why? I didn't say that. You said that.
He's like, don't be coy, Chad. I'm Sir Joffrey Longmouth. They call me the Knight of Kisses. Get it? Don't know why. Can't imagine. He's like, excuse me. I'm on duty trying to give desperate, sad victim looks here. Can you just tell me what you want to move on? He's like, listen, you don't know me, but we're both deeply invested. The prince is important to me, and I know the princess is to you. Get it? We need to make sure they're safe, so we're all safe. And then he's like talking to him really weird, and then they do a shot of Kristen's crotch while he walks off, and I couldn't tell. I watched it 3 times because I was like, is this hot? But I couldn't tell if he rubs up against his crotch or if he just passes too close and Kristen like backs off. It's like, what the fuck with this guy?
Yeah. But actually what the guy was saying was like, listen, I'll keep your secret. You keep my secret. We got a good situation here. Let's like not fuck up. That's kind of what he's saying. But of course he's doing it in a smarmy way, because that's how this show writes gay characters. So then so now there's like more dancing and more drumming. And so we just know like death is about to happen, because there's like everyone is smiling bigger than they ever have before. Like huge smiles, like nothing could possibly go wrong. And then Damon goes up to Ray Ray and he starts, now he's trying to sort of seduce her again. And, you know, they start talking in Targaryen. He's like, is this what you want? And she goes, well, I was not aware that what I wanted mattered to you. Ha, zing.
You left me pantsless in a whore house, you dick. And he's like, but he's not right for you. I mean, he's a fine knight and all, and he'll bore you senseless. His hair, what does he put in that? It's something called pomade. Right? I don't really understand it either, but it's pretty. And listen, marriage is just a political arrangement anyway, or so I hear. And he says, well, mine is over. Bitch-faced Betty took a nap under a horse. Idiot.
Right. So basically, he's like, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here and get married out in the Vale. Okay, I'm about to get this inheritance runestone. It's, you know, close to the town center, great views, open concept. And he like sort of cups his hand on her jaw, almost like he's about to kiss her. And then we like cut to the king who's watching. He's watching and he's mad about all this, but there's all these people. And then there's like commotion. So at first you think, oh no, something happened with Daemon. Daemon did something. And there's screaming and there's knights are pouring in. And you're like, what's going on? And then, as of course, the king is like, what in the seven hells is going on here? As if like anyone's going to like really pay attention to the king right now. And then
Mr. Roper gets up and walks off, like speeds out of there. So it's like, wait a minute, was this like some planned ploy by those guys to do something at the wedding?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Because you don't know what's happening. Because Ray also told, he's like grabbing the back of her neck and looking deeply into her eyes. And she's like, oh, you want me to, you? Well, then cut through my father's Kingsguard and take me to Dragonstone and make me your wife then, if that's what you want. And then this big fight breaks out. So you're like, did he do that? What the hell is going on? So then they push her to the ground. And like, it looks like all these guys are surrounding her. And then Laenor is thrown to the ground and Kristen starts punching him. And then Joffrey comes to him, and then he just beats the shit out of Longmouth. Joffrey.
Yeah. He, like, kills him. He, like, he beats and beats and beats him, and, like, his face is literally just, like, ground meat afterwards. And he's just going, and I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Kristen? Like, first of all, this guy literally did nothing wrong with you. Second of all, it feels problematic beating up a member of the LGBTQ plus community.
Well, I thought they were making it look like, my first impression of it was that they were making it look like Longmouth was kind of coming on to him, or like we're both the sluts in the family or something, kind of like rubbing him or being too close, and like he went into gay panic. Like, okay, so maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just that he's so mad that he's going to beat the shit out of Laenor, but then when Longmouth gets in the middle, he gets his face pummeled in instead. I couldn't really tell.
I think it was kind of all of the above. I think he had like gay panic. I think he was like, there was like that frustration of like, I wanted to do something and I'm a man and I didn't get to do it, so I'm gonna go after someone who's weaker than me, you know. And he just, but also I was like, but I was like, you know, poor Laenor. Laenor loved this guy. Like, this was going to be... And also, like, you're stupid. You guys had a perfect arrangement. Like, literally, you could have had everything you wanted. And you're also ridiculous for thinking that you could have actually just taken a queen away from her throne and lived happily ever after. Like, you being, like, the side piece for her is as good as it's going to get for you ever. And you've, like, fucked it up. And this was such a perfect situation. And then you couldn't control yourself and you had to go beat up poor Joffrey, and now everything's ruined.
Well, welcome to Game of Thrones. Are you new here? No one gets out of here happy. Is there anybody happy on this show? Even the gays suffer.
Suffers. And meanwhile, the king is like falling apart. The king's watching it and his blood's coming out of his nose. He's not even hit and he's bleeding.
Yeah, the king is bleeding all over the place. So, yeah, poor Laenor sees Joffrey dead on the floor and he crawls over to him and just starts screaming and wailing. So that secret's
out. Corlys is like, well, I guess the secret's out now.
Yeah. But so then now
they just got suddenly, to a wedding.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we're doing this now then. The king's like, listen.
Lock it down.
It's a dead kid. Yeah, lock it down. So now there's a wedding and it's in the same room. They just cleared everybody out. We're like, we're going to have a small family affair. All right.
we decide we want a small ceremony. You know, nothing
bowling
too,
day
nothing
is,
too
as
fussy.
Your favorite Muppet is out. All right.
Like, no one even bothered to clean up the blood. I was like, you guys, you want to like spiff it up a little bit? I mean, for crying out loud, just try, or maybe go to a different venue. But they go
and
through
now
it.
They get to their symbolism here. They're heavy-handed but still really good. I love this show. I'm really loving this show. Their symbolism where, you know, this poor kid is crying over his lover just getting slaughtered, and Rey's crying because she's like, well, this is awkward. And so
we see them get married, and the king falls, and his crown falls to the ground, and then we see a rat over a pool of blood, and I'm like, oh, all the families around the crown and the rats at the blood. Love the symbolism. And meanwhile, while this is going on, we see emo fucking pomaded fucking Kristen out in the garden. Which, how did he even get out into the garden?
How did he get there? And he's not even willing, he's not even gonna face, by the way, earlier he's like, oh, please don't torture me, just kill me. And now he's done something arguably even worse, and he's like, rather than face the consequences of what he did, he's like, I'm just gonna kill myself. So he's like taking off his armor, so that's like an hour and a half of him taking off his armor, and then he finally takes out the knife to like stab himself, seppuku himself in the stomach. And right before he's about to you know, die by suicide, then, you know, Allison comes out, it's like, Sir Kristen, and then that's all we hear.
Don't do it. And she stops him, and, you know, the king's to what end, we don't know. Presumably dead on the floor. No. And
we think the king's dead, but then in the previews for next week, the king is. Aww. We now move forward.
I'm Jill. I didn't get previews for next week.
The previews are after the previews are after the credits.
Oh, I'm so annoyed. I didn't even catch that. I was watching. I did get the After the Thrones or whatever. Oh. Game of Thrones after show. I saw that. But I rewound and I still didn't get the stupid.
Go back and look.
So what's going to happen? No, I did. I think they don't put it on the on-demand version, maybe. Maybe they put it on the live. I don't know.
Either way, next week, all the actors, they now have the bring in the adult actors, which I'm happy for. I'm ready for them. And the king is still alive, and he's like decrepit, and looks like shit is like going nuts next. It's just everything's just getting more and more chaotic. But the king is alive. He just fell over. I think this is just the thing that happens to the king now, is that he passes out two or three times a day.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to miss Ray Ray, though. I love her.
Well, you'll and get older Ray Ray. She'll still be there. I'm excited for new Allison. I'm excited for new Allison. They show her, and she seems like she's going to be a disaster, and I'm excited for her.
But I'm going to miss the actors, because I really love watching the After the Thrones thing with Ray Ray. She's so funny on it. She's like, they all uncle and niece, which is kind of gross, but I mean, I don't know. It's just how they did it then.
It's really funny. It's funny seeing like such a modern young lady talking about Game of Thrones.
I had to leave. So I wasn't able to watch the behind the episode thing, but I do want to watch it because I'm excited to see what they have to say about everything. And also I just love it when the creators of the show just get very serious about everything. Like, oh, well, the feast, it was important to show the alignment of the genders, and the wearing lots of the lamps that were hanging really represent the pain and the torture that the king feels, you know. I love that bullshit.
The creators in this like little leather jacket. It's like always a really nerdy guy that they're like, but you'll look really hip if you wear this motorcycle jacket.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just finished watching episode 3 of The Bear. What were you asking me about my show?
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for being here. Go subscribe to Winter is Crappening over on Apple Podcasts, or really wherever you're listening. Okay. And join us for Watch What Crappens, which is our Bravo podcast, 5 days a week, 5 shows a week. And we do a live show every Monday night called Take a Seat over on Spotify Live, the app. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see you there. Thanks for being with us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.